Now let's turn to page 8. We are going to look at the first one. That's primary text from which I'll be speaking about the fourth commandment. Let me read it for us. Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male or your female servant, or your cattle, or your sojourner who stays with you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Amen. Just quickly from there, go to the verse 15 on the next column. 10 commandments reappear on Deuteronomy 5. And look at just verse 15 with me. From slightly different angle, it says, "You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and a stretched arm, outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." So first one is from the resting of God in creation. And the second one is from liberation that God has wrought on behalf of Israelites. So keep that in mind as we look at the fourth commandment today. This is the longest one if you look at Ten Commandments. This fourth commandment, keeping the Sabbath, is the longest in terms of explanation is attached to it. And I do believe, after staring it for a while, this fourth commandment is like a hinge upon which first three are attached to, and the rest six are hanging. So fourth commandment happens right in between, I believe, as a hinge. It's like a spine of the book, so both ends will come together. And this is very important. So when you look at 10 commandments, don't think of it as random 10, but think of it as some necessary consequences attached to it as it progresses. Just think with me for a second. What are the first three commandments? First, you shall have no other gods before me. No. Second one, you shall not make for yourself an idol. Don't. Third, you shall not take the name of God in vain. So first three is in all negatives. Don't do that. Do not have any other gods. But as we've been saying, negatives are not enough. In the absence of idols, now we come to the fourth commandment. Now you have to worship one true God, right? So absence of idols and the worshiping of one true God. So both are important. Not having any idols is necessary before you worship our God. If you look at Old Testament failures, what happened? Idolatry never replaced Yahweh worship. But what was the problem? They always wanted it together, side by side. Worshiping some idols, some other gods, and on top of that, plus Yahweh worshiping. That was the problem. That is why in the first three, no other gods, in no form whatsoever. And now in that absence, in the clean plate, now God is to be worshipped. That is the point. That's the first three. And when you think about the next, depending on how well you worship our God on this day, the rest of the commandments, 5th through 10, will either succeed or fail. Only the true worshiper will truly keep the rest of the commandments. Just to remind you, when I talk about keeping the law, it is not to attain salvation. We already have that in Christ. But as I said, now this helps us to figure out who God is And Ten Commandments work as, it works as for us, adoption plan for us, sinful people. God is holy, and we need to be holy to be adopted fully as God's children. That is the point. So in Westminster Larger Catechism's language, in keeping it, Fourth Commandment, in keeping the Fourth Commandment, better to keep all the rest of the commandments. See? So Fourth Commandment that we are going to look at is very important. It's not just random, oh, now it's time to keep the Sabbath. It is connected, and based upon this Fourth Commandment, first three either will collapse or succeed. The rest either will collapse or succeed. It is very important that you hear God's word today. Now, if you have that bulletin with you, or Bible with you, look with me that verse 8, chapter 20, verse 8. Not the second column, just the Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. And just let us carefully read what that actually says. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. I was staring at that command, obviously to preach today. And I was thinking, if you've been reading from first, the very first commandment, this fourth commandment should say, worship me or remember me, Yahweh, who brought you out of Egypt, house of slavery. Wouldn't you say? It was all about God. I am the God, Yahweh, who led you out of Egypt. And now, no other gods, do not make an idol, and do not take my God's name in vain. What should it say? It should say, remember me, God. But what did you read in verse 8? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And I thought that's odd. I checked the Hebrew, and you know what it says is, remember, not the Sabbath day, but remember the day of Sabbath. So Sabbath, the day comes first. So here, if you look at carefully in verse 8, the emphasis lies on the day. And whenever I feel, something is odd in the Bible, as I've been saying, I always think about two things. Wisdom of God and goodness of God. When God says something, God is wiser than me. He's smarter than me in a sense. He could have said, remember me, Yahweh, to worship on Sabbath day. But he said in his wisdom, in his omniscience, he has said, remember the day of Sabbath to keep it holy. Then you got to give it to God and think about why would God say that in that way? Not simply say, worship me. Sunday, worship me. Sabbath day, worship me. But he says, to keep this day holy. And to me, it is really God's special goodness and wisdom for us to understand this correctly. Obviously, we are not worshiping the day. But God, it seems to me, whichever version you read, emphasis lies on with the day. Okay? So, I want to say this first to all of you, but especially for those of you who are going to college soon. You know, I've taught Sunday school for a long time. I'm talking about the youth group, etc., college group, whatever. People who grow up in church do not simply one day when they go to college, stop going to church. That it doesn't happen that way. It doesn't happen in just a dramatic fashion. No, before they stop going to church, provided that they are born again Christians, right? If you're not born again Christian, really, I just don't know. But if you're born again Christian, you go to college, there's a rationalizing process. And biggest thing, I think, temptation for you is this. People say in their heads, and they over-spiritualize or internalize this commandment, saying, oh, every day is the same. Jesus abrogated this Jewish Sabbath. So for Christians, there's no specific day. Instead, Monday through Sunday, all the same. It sounds evangelistic and evangelical even. But when you think about that, when people say that, usually, I think, it is to lessen the duty, obligation, and importance of Sunday or the Lord's Day worship. The people of God who truly want to worship God every day, Monday through Sunday, Monday through Saturday, every day, people who truly want to worship our God in such fashion, will say, my worship throughout the week depends on my successful Sunday, Lord's Day worship. You should say that. It is about the day. God, in his wisdom, he didn't simply say, worship me. God blessed the Sabbath day and made that day holy, you see. So do not over-spiritualize and say, everybody, every day is the same. I could stay home. I could stay in my dorm. Doesn't matter whether I go to church or not. Every day is the same. All it matters is his heart. I could just worship God with my heart. After all, God only looks at the heart. But when you really examine it, that's not the way it should be. God set apart a day for us to worship him. A day. Now, we're going to look at this just in detail in a few minutes. But at this point, let me just take a moment to explain or reaffirm what, as a church, we as a church believe about a Lord's Day. And because if you read creation account and even Exodus 20, it really is given to Jewish nation. But in our tradition, rightly, we say this. And let me just read you a portion from Confession. Confession is not the, obviously, Bible. But we come together as a church to agree with it. And just hear the words here. It's not in the bulletin. But in the seventh paragraph, it says, a due proportion of time is to be set apart. And this fourth commandment is a positive, moral, and perpetual commandment binding all men in all ages. He has particularly appointed one day in seven for a Sabbath to keep holy unto him. Listen to this. From the beginning of the world to the resurrection of Christ, that Sabbath was the last day of the week, Saturday basically. But we believe from the resurrection of Christ, that Jewish Sabbath was, this is the word, changed into the first day of the week, which in Scripture is called the Lord's Day, and is to be continued to the end of the world as the Christian Sabbath. That's basically our position. And how did Jewish Sabbath change it into Sunday, the Lord's Day worship? And if you read other books, they say, wait, early church, extra-biblical accounts will tell you that they were celebrating on Sunday. But if you look at other biblical texts, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2, it says, on the first day of every week, each one of you is to put aside and save, that's to give the collection, the offering to God. On the first day of every week, it says. Acts 20, verse 7 says, on the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul began to preach to them. You see, so before we get to Revelation 1:10, it says, John the Apostle says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Lord's day. Elsewhere it says, Christians in the earliest times, they've been gathering together on Sunday to celebrate our Lord's what? Resurrection. Jesus rose upon this day, the third day from his death, and that is why the church began gathering on Sunday, in distinction from Jewish Sabbath. Okay, so as we have read in Exodus 20, it's about creation. Deuteronomy 5, it's about liberation. And that both of them come together in Jesus Christ. So in summary, at least, I would say this. The Jewish Sabbath is changed, not abrogated, into Christians' Lord's Day, Sunday, because Sabbath was pointing to the person, Jesus Christ, who both as creator and redeemer fulfills it, fulfills the Sabbath. Jesus Christ fulfills it. And Jesus Christ is the Lord of the Sabbath. And now, as reason, Jesus has absolute claim to it. And the New Testament and the early church give ample evidences for worshiping triune God on the day that Jesus rose from the dead in remembrance and celebration. Therefore, it is fitting for us, I believe, for us to retain general equity of the fourth commandment as Christians. Simply put, whatever God said in the Old Testament, the teaching and the spirit of it, how it is given, what is taught, is to be embraced by us as Christians, because God who set a day apart in his wisdom to worship him, we as Christians celebrating Jesus' resurrection on Sunday, just different day, but general things that is taught in Jewish Sabbath is now we embrace. Now, look at now verse 9. We are going to look at how are we going to keep this Lord's Day, at least from this text. What does it say? General equity, that is verse 9. First, positive things are given. Verse 8 says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And verse 9, there's a positive thing. What is it? 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. That is the first. Often emphasis lies with the resting, the second part. But once again, God in his wisdom doesn't say that. God says, remember the Sabbath day, and the first thing that he says is to work. For how long? For 6 days. And you see here, God is gracious to us. Remember at the time in Genesis, God cursed the ground, and what did God say to Adam? You sinned, and now cursed is the ground because of you, Adam. And God says, in toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. That is, you have to work hard to make ends meet. To put the bread on your plate, you have to work every day. And God says, by the sweat of your face, you will eat bread. So, before we talk about resting, we have to talk about 6 days of hard working. And I want you to know, God knows your struggle. That is why God gives you 6 days and only one day for himself. Wouldn't you say it is fair? I think it's fair. God didn't say, you worship me 6 days because I am important. I am God. After all, I created you. He could have said that. But God in his grace, God didn't say that. God said, 6 days, have it at it. You have to work hard to get it. All the bread, and you have to work hard. By the sweat of your face, you could earn it. And one day, you give it to me. At this point, I should be thankful that God knows our struggle in this world. That's what's happening. So, proper and true worship of our God on Sunday, on Lord's Day, presupposes your faithful and fruitful work for 6 days. Americans work 5 days, most people. Friday until Friday, and Saturday's off, Sunday off. And if you look into it, it is really a Jewish intervention in America. I read an article in the Atlantic in 2014. It says, in 1908, a New England mill became the first American factory to institute the 5-day week. Because Jewish immigrants would not show up on Saturday, so they had to give it to them. So that 5-work day really is not, in a sense, biblical. But Monday through Saturday, you have to work hard to enjoy Sunday. So I would say, first thing for you to enjoy our Sunday Lord's Day worship is to be faithful in your calling. Work hard. It is God's calling and command, so that you may not be anxious on Sunday for unfinished work. Larger Catechism 170 says, so that we may be the more free and fit for the duties of that day. You know, if you're a student, if you play all weekend, Monday there's exam, and what do people say? Well, I have to stay home and study. Instead of working hard for 6 days and trying to reserve this day holy in worshiping our God. Same thing for adults. So 6 days, work hard is the command. Now let's look at the rest, the negative. Verse 10, let's read verse 10. But the seventh day to me, to us, is the Lord's Day, Sunday, not Saturday. That's what I'm trying to say, the equity of it. We do not keep it on Saturday, but we keep it on Sunday, the Lord's Day. But what is taught in it, we have to embrace, because God in his wisdom has given it to us as well. But the seventh day is the Sabbath day of the Lord your God. It's his day. It's God's day. And it says, in it you shall not do any work, you or your son, your daughter, your male or female servant, or your cattle, or your sojourner who stays with you. So resting from all works that hinder us and entangle us from worshiping God with our all heart and might, but rather making it our delight to spend the whole time in the public and private exercises of God's worship. That's the equity of it, right? I'm going to end my sermon by giving you just some applications. I thought about this, and I don't want to say more than it says. I don't want to bind anybody's conscience. But if you're a Christian who love the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're a born-again Christian, Sunday is not a duty, but a delight to be here, right? You enjoy this day. And you'll do everything you can to set aside 6 days of work so that Sunday you'll be free to enjoy communing with our God and God's people. And I think that's in your heart. So I would just say a few things. Just in general terms. First application of this, I think, I could say, keep the Lord's Day well by attending the public worship. And use this spiritual energy, if I could say, use this spiritual energy to propel yourself forward for the weekdays. Be here. Be here. Make an every effort to obey this command. You see, even the Puritans gave some exceptions, though. If you read Puritans, those hardcore Puritans, they understood some works were necessary. That's not what we are talking about. Such as the public service work of necessity or mercy, police work or hospitals, the caregivers, or public transportations or water system, whatever. You know, safety-related public service without which the society will collapse. That kind of work. And I know all of you are trying to keep this command. It is just to remind you that. And pray to God, if your work schedule keeps on coming on Sundays, that God, to whom this day belongs, will give you a break by giving you, I don't know, better superintendent, better boss, something like that. Pray to God. So that we could keep this well. You know, past few weeks, as I've been meditating on Ten Commandments, really, I've never preached on Ten Commandments before. I really came to appreciate this in this way. Ten Commandments, if you hear that, it is kind of restricting. All commandments are. All laws are, in a sense, restricting. But to me, you think about this, God has blessed it. So what? For what? To bless us. And I've been thinking, all these commandments, if you keep it by the power of the Spirit, it's going to be a blessing to me, blessing to you, wouldn't you say? God gave this to protect us, to prosper you as God's children, not to restrict you. And I come to realize that even this fourth commandment is to really give you a day that you will be blessed in worshiping your God, Creator, Redeemer, the Trinity. Children, listen to me. Hold on to this fourth commandment with all your strength for the rest of your life. That's the point. Coming to church on Sunday, it's not simply a habit. It's not simply what parents imposed upon you. But as your heart is changed, as God changes your heart, and by the way, isn't it your observation, it's my observation, that delight does not come in vacuum. Sometimes duty has to be here so that God uses those duty to change your heart. I've never heard anybody in my short life of time of ministry that anybody was changed, converted on the dance floor, movie theater, or some kind of, you know, sinful, lustful way, whatever they were. No. All of them that I met was somewhere, somehow, was sitting under the ministry of the word or praise songs, singing songs, or reading things that is related to our God. So before delight happens, people, especially young people, coming to church on Sunday is the minimum. And God is going to use such as today to convert your heart slowly, slowly, slowly. So do not forego of this fourth commandment. Hold on to this. And how it is a blessing for all of you. The reason why you are here today is because of God's grace. But at the same time, God's grace doesn't work in a vacuum. Praise God for good church. Praise God for good church. I'm serious. Praise God for good pastors who pastored you past days of your life. That's why you're here today, not by a random chance. Someone brought you here, and somewhere in your life, somebody spoke God's word into your life. Praise God for all of that, without which we wouldn't be here. But fourth commandment is that. Now, second thing that I want to say, quoting Westminster Larger Catechism, so much wisdom in that, by the way. If you have time, read it. In Larger Catechism, it notices how this fourth commandment is more specially directed to governors of families and other superiors. Did you catch that when you read verse 10? In it, you shall not do any work, you or your son, your daughter, male, female servant, your cattle, your sojourner who stays with you. Emphasis lies on with the head of household. That is given to the governors of the family, the heads of families. Not only for themselves, but to see that it be observed by all those that are under their charge. So, if you are head of household, if you're a single person, you are responsible for yourself. But if you are head of household, single mom too, whatever you're in charge of, we have bigger responsibility. And I know, like you, I feel guilty too. I could do a better job as a father that God has given this commandment, especially to me, so that family under my charge will observe this command with all their care and strength and might. That's my responsibility. And we all feel guilty in a certain sense. So in order for you to observe this fourth commandment better, fathers especially, we have to sit down and think about how can we better serve our family in observing this. You know, I have my trials and errors and failures, and I can tell you it's not going well. It is hard. Have you taken phones and iPads away from your children if you have grown a little bit older children? You know what happens? They will stare at the wall, and they say, you'll hear that all day. And you have to give them something to do. But all I'm saying is, children too, kids, listen to me. If God has set apart this day, and if God in his wisdom thinks, if you fully spend a day somehow, whatever way you can, really devote yourself in worshiping and knowing and praying, whatever it takes, God says that will be enough. Instead of trying to do too much during the week, the wisdom of God would say, do that. You're busy during the first 6 days. But why don't you take day? Not simply today in about a 45, 50 minutes of worship. But when we go home, things like that. Don't simply turn immediately to something else that takes away your attention away from our God. One day. God said one day. Third. From Deuteronomy 5, instead of saying creation, God rested. That's why you should. Deuteronomy says, you are freed from land of slavery. And obviously that is looking forward to Jesus' freeing work on the cross and resurrection, right? From sin and the curse from sin, etc., etc. So today, I would say the third application of it is, be a free man. On this day, don't be enslaved by anything. Rather, worship God fully. That's what I would say. What are we usually enslaved by these days? Entertainment, right? Smartphone or connections to unbelievers. That has to go too. I know none of you are doing this, but monetary profit on Sunday. That should be what? You're enslaved to profit money. So today actually is the day that you declare that you are freed person because of work of Jesus Christ. So just keep that in mind. How you apply that, you do that. But think about that. If you are enslaved by something, this is the day that you declare that you are independent from those slavery. The last one. Again, my attention was drawn to verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And obviously, during that time, we are worshiping God, positively saying. But if God said, remember the day, then you and I should really think about how we come upon this day. The last thing that I want to say is this. As it says, first, remember to prepare for Sunday. Remember. Remember today is Lord's Day. And one quick application could be, go to sleep early on Saturday, right? Don't play game until 2 a.m. Don't party until 4 a.m. You know, things like that. You have to be here on some time with clear minds. So remember that Lord's Day is coming. One of the blessings is that for us pastors, it is always coming. John MacArthur said the truth. He said, Sunday always comes. Sunday always comes. By the time you catch your breath, there's another Sunday coming. Another sermon to prepare, etc., etc. So we are very self-conscious. Well, what about you, right? So remember to prepare well for this day. And remember to listen well. Read the scriptures. Prepare our hearts. And pray for the preachers, etc., etc. Remember to talk about it afterwards. That is big because, you know, as a pastor, I have often, it is my experience. After worship, so many of people talk about non-Christ-related things. Immediately, when they have coffee time, when they have meal time in church, they talk about politics, what happened in North Korea, Singapore. You know, talk about sports. I'm amazed how many conversations turn immediately into sports. I'm not a big fan of sports, but they talk about, you know, all kinds of things. But after listening sermon well on Sunday, if you make a point at your lunchtime and dinner time to talk about Christ-related things, sermons, what have you learned? What was good? What was bad? What was good? Yes, you know, talk about it. The last one, obviously, is to remember to apply it well during the weekday. So as that is my sermon today. I hope and pray the Lord's Day will be delight unto you. I pray for you, spirits working in your hearts, in your families especially families with growing children. We are doing, I believe, everything that we can to teach this. So I pray to God that God will show mercy and loving kindness to our children as well. Let us pray. Our God, I mean, even I, who was preaching at this time, feel guilty about this, how we are not fully devoting a day, and we do not have patience, we do not have strength and courage to spend at least a day wholly devoted to you. How many enticements are there, especially in this internet age? So many entertainments are available, but we are so far away from the book, the Word of God, the Bible, from sermons, from the books and the songs that we should be, we ought to be singing and meditating and using our lips to remember and to talk about, to evangelize, to encourage one another. How our hearts are drawn immediately to the things that is not God's. So I pray, help us, O God, to keep this commandment sincerely. Help us, O God, in this day and age to be wholly devoted to you. And for those people who are sitting here thinking, Sunday is one of those fun days that I enjoy, I pray for them. I pray that you will convict. If they do not embrace Christ, they will die in their sins. And I pray that they will flee to you, Christ, and embrace Christ, the Creator and Redeemer. So I pray that they will receive such grace. And all of us who are present today will say, indeed, the Lord's day is the day that the Lord has made, and we will glad and rejoice in it. Let that be our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.